As Anitra said, my name is Andrew Ray. I am your director of youth and young adults. Woo! Yeah. I could not be more excited to be with you this morning. God has so much to say, and I get the privilege of talking to you about raising up the next generation. Yes, that's our kids, that's our youth, that's our young adults, but that's also the next generation of believers who are going to say yes to Jesus. And we get the opportunity to set the table for them, right? To set the table so that they can come in and have the life in Jesus that we dream of, right? The life that we will have one day in the Lord, but they can have a little bit more tomorrow. So I get so excited about talking about this, but it's funny. The Bible has quite a lot to say about it. And so John chapter 4, starting in verse 31, let's dig in to God's word. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together." Now Jesus likes to do this. You ask him a question about one thing, and he seemingly talks about something completely different, right? And I think that, you know, as we dig in, we'll find out, no, he answers the question, but the conversation starts out a lot like one I have with my girlfriend often, right? "Where do you want to go to eat?" "Oh, I don't care." Where do you want to go to eat?" "That doesn't matter to me. What about this?" "Oh, I'm not hungry for that. What about..." Right? Like, that's kind of the conversation that's happening, and then I end up at Chick-fil-A, but they end up having a teachable moment. So let's look into what Jesus is saying here, right? Because it becomes very evident very quickly that Jesus is no longer talking about physical hunger, right? He didn't have a Lunchable that the disciples didn't know about, right? He didn't, like, you know, the woman at the well who he's just talking to didn't, like, bring him food and all that kind of stuff. None of that happened. So he must be talking about something different. He must be talking about spiritual hunger. Now, often in the church, when we think about being spiritually fed, what we think about is coming on a Sunday, sitting down, having a good sermon and leaving, you know, being motivated and knowing more about Jesus and feeling more in love. And believe me, all of those are amazing things, right? Listening to that YouTube sermon that from that pastor you really like, and that's awesome. Please keep doing that. But that's not what Jesus is saying being spiritually fed is. Believe me, all of those things are awesome, and I want those things for you day in and day out. But that's not being fed, right? And so let's try and dig into what Jesus has to say, right? Now, for you type A people, I broke this out into 3 points, right? Point one, being spiritually fed is not about hearing a good sermon. It's about doing a good sermon, right? Jesus didn't say, I heard a word from the Lord, and now I am fed. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, let me preach to you so that you will be fed." He didn't say any of that. He said, "My food is to do the will of the Father." Right? It's not about being motivated. It's about moving. Right? It's about doing the will of the Father. And so I understand how we can, you know, think that being fed is, you know, hearing this awesome sermon, but that's not it. So here's an example that I think is helpful for me. Now, it wouldn't be an Andrew Ray sermon if I didn't bring up my girlfriend at least like 2 or 3 times. So here's number 2, I think. All right. For the 1 year anniversary with my girlfriend, we decided to go to the Melting Pot. I don't know if you've been to the Melting Pot. It's this nice fondue restaurant in Richmond, fondues, where you stick the things in either like the broth to cook the meat or cheese or chocolate, right? Super fancy. probably the nicest restaurant I've ever been to, definitely the nicest restaurant I've ever paid for. And we had a great time. We dressed up in our fancy outfits, and I wore my one suit, and we go, we get there, I'm opening all the doors. I'm like, she got to that one faster than I thought, and you know, we're doing all this. We get inside, the ambiance is amazing. The lights are dim, but not too dark. There's some nice jazz in the back, some Kenny G, and anyone who listens to jazz just got really offended. And we have a great time. The waiter, I think his name was Jason, directs us to our seat. Phenomenal service. He's walking me through how to do fondue, and it's taking way too long. We sit down, and all of it, amazing. Now, imagine we go through all of that process, right? We pay all that money. We give all that time. We enjoy the lights. We enjoy the music. We enjoy the service, all of that, and we never take a bite to eat. Right? Imagine we go through, we do all of that, and we have a great time. We even go home and say, it was an awesome experience. You should go. The lighting's incredible. You would love that song they played about 20 minutes in. Right? Like, all the server, Jason asked for him. Great. But we never take a bite. Right? We would call that a waste of money, a pointless trip. We would call that a lot of things. And church, when we come on a Sunday morning and we hear a sermon and we come and we spend time with church family, but we never take a bite, we never take a next step, we don't go home and do it, James says that we would be double-minded. But we would say that's a waste of time. Like, right, I tell the youth this all the time. Church is a lame hobby, right? If this is just a hobby, there are cooler ones to pick. Like, you can, like, play racquetball, have a good time, right? There are other things you can do. Church is a lame hobby, but if it's a family, if this is, if it's everything it claims to be, it's the best thing you could ever choose. If Jesus is who he says he is, there is no better way to spend your time than with your church family. There's no better way to spend your time. And so that brings me to my second point, that church is not meant to be a restaurant. It's meant to be a family potluck. You have something to bring. God has put something in you, has designed you in such a way that you would have something to bring, something to add value to the church, and not just so that we can get stuff done, and not just so that our services can maybe be a little better or a little, or whatever it is, right? It's so that you can feed us as we feed you. It's so that you can feed each other. And we're all meant to bring something to the table, and God has put something in you. Like I said, like, you might have, spiritually speaking, that nice macaroni with the crumbles on top that everyone likes to eat at Thanksgiving, or that green beans with the bacon and the ham that always seem to go away first, right? Like, you have that in you. And so I want to urge you to use your gifts. Take your next steps so that we can all eat. So we can all eat. Now, let me give you an example of a man who did this while he was here at Cornerstone. His name is Terry Martin. Now, a lot of us might not know who Terry Martin is, but he was a youth leader back when I was in youth, right? And he set, he came to Cornerstone. His family was in first service. And one day, he was sitting in a room on a Sunday, a lot like today. He was sitting in here, and I think that the chairs were kind of in like a little square facing in. It was like the weird and like, oh, whoa, what's going on this Sunday, right? And the sermon was about, hey, you have gifts and you can use them for Christ. And Terry decided, you know what? I'm going to do something about that word. I'm going to live it out. He's right. He's not lying to me. He's right. So I'm going to do something about it. And Terry says, I like to cook. I like to grill. Let's do it. So he starts cooking out for the Shady Hill potlucks and you know, parties and all that kind of stuff, starts grilling all the hot dogs, and we start seeing lives change over there. And he's like, you know what? I'm not done. I have more time. All right. So he starts cooking food on Wednesday nights for the youth. right? And I got a lot of chicken tenders and ice cream I did not deserve. It was awesome. And what happens is kids start gravitating toward him, and in his amazing Terry way, he starts pointing them to Jesus and making sure that they're loved, but they're also in the right spots. And Terry is just shepherding these hearts, but he's doing it by just making food and realizing he's not just feeding these kids physically, he's feeding them spiritually. And so Terry lives this out. And in 2013, Terry goes to the Lord. Some things in his story and in his life that led him to having this marvelous, life-changing testimony also lead into him going to the Lord. And he goes, but not without leaving a legacy. And it wasn't glamorous. He wasn't on a stage preaching. He wasn't on the worship team, right? He didn't play a mean guitar. He just was faithful in what his gifts were. He was faithful to feed the kids. And believe me, it left a lasting impact. And you have that opportunity as well. Right, Cornerstone has been filled with people since the beginning, whether it's Bill or Barbara Bell, which Miss Barbara, if you're watching, I love you to pieces, right? Or Miss Mary Melton, who served so faithfully for so long in the kids ministry, right? Cornerstone has just been jam-packed with people who set the table for you. And Cornerstone, and believe me, God has been moving. There are still people in this church today that live this sermon out on a daily basis, whether it's Jamal Riley, Marta Ledesma. There's so many people who love you and are feeding you. And you can enter into that as well. Right? This isn't just a sermon for the super Christian. This is a sermon for you. You can feed the church as well. And that brings me to my last point, that the world is spiritually hungry. Bring them in so they can eat. Now, Sean gave us this challenge last week, and I feel compelled to double down on it, that everyone would bring one by August 1. Right? And I think this is important, but it's also, this isn't just shoehorned in the sermon. This is exactly how Jesus ends his sermon as well. Right? Verse 38, I sent you to reap that which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Right? And he talks that the harvest is ripe, that the harvest is white, that it's ready. And you're entering in to what everyone else has already started. And there's a new generation of believers. Not just the kids, yes, them, but there's a new generation of believers in your neighborhood that are ready to help feed the church. But before they can, they first need to be fed. They need to be brought in and have their first bite. And this is what happens when you decide to take your bite. You join the harvest. You join the miracle that is ushering others into the kingdom of God. And you raise up the next generation of believers. And look what follows, right? If you just keep reading, it says that the woman brings her whole town with her. The woman at the well brings the whole town, and they all know Jesus. They all get saved. There's revival. So if you've been praying for revival in our city, and I hope you have, that's the best thing to pray. You can't do that without also bringing people into the church, right? You can't just pray for it without stepping into it as well. And this is exactly what being spiritually fed looks like. It's doing the will of the Father. The table was set for us. Right? If we want to understand how to raise up the next generation, we have to realize at one point we were the next generation. Right? The table was set for us. So it's our job to set the table a little bit better for the next generation. All right, how many of you guys are gardeners of any kind, even if it's just a little little thing in the backyard. All right, we got a couple hands, nice. I kill everything I touch. My mom, bad thing for a youth pastor to say, my mom is a master gardener and does the opposite. All right, so we kind of balance each other out. Now, one thing I've learned from my mom about fruit is that fruit is not meant for the plant. Doesn't help the plant. It's not really for it, right? If it actually is producing, it's using extra energy to produce this fruit that's actually going to fall off and not help the plant. It's meant to reproduce. The fruit, and for us, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And for some of you guys, there's a little song going on in your head, right? That fruit, while believe me, you want it in your life, you will feel better when you have it in your life. It's not meant for you. You're like, oh, I need more fruit of the Spirit because I'll punch a person, right? Like, oh, I need some more patience. I'll turn my pastoral ministry into a prison ministry, right? Like all of that kind of stuff, right? Right? You're like, I need that fruit. But fruit's not meant for you. It's meant so that others can take and eat and know that the Lord is good. It's meant so that others can be like, wow, look at that patience. Look at that kindness. Look at that graciousness. Look at all of that, right? And it plants a seed inside of them so that they can know there's a good God in heaven and they can eat. So that they can partake and eat. Christ hasn't just called us to come and hear, but he's also called us to go and tell. Now, we have a great example of this in our youth ministry. There is a young girl, her name is Carly Mitchell. She's actually sitting in the back. Hey, Carly, love you. She didn't know I was doing this, by the way. Carly, about a year and some change ago, was so spiritually hungry. Just due to some things in her story, right? Like, she was famished. She needed to eat, and she didn't know how, she didn't know who, she didn't know where, until her best friend decided to tell her about Jesus, another girl in our youth group. That family took her in and said, you know what? Like, you're ours. We're with you no matter what. And decided to start bringing her to church and decided to start feeding her themselves. And then she comes to know Jesus and her life has changed, right? She gets baptized. A lot of you were here for her baptism. And now last week, her dad gets baptized and his life is radically changed because she decides to go home and feed herself. She decides to go home and say, you know what? Like, the buck doesn't stop with me, right? I'm going to go feed. And now we're seeing lives change. So, I challenge you. Yes, take and eat, right? And then go and feed. And one way you can do that is by bringing one by August 1. And that August 1 is not some magical deadline, right? God doesn't say like, all right, August 1 or, right? Right? Like, it's nothing like that. It's just so that we as a church can have a goal to go towards, right? Goals are great. They're very biblical. So we're just doing that as a church so that we can all get on the same page, right? So, but you can take a bite yourself and then go feed by bringing one by August 1. So, let me pray for you and bless you. God, you are good. You are so, so good. And Lord, we just ask, Father God, that you would give us courage to speak, that you would give us patience to listen. Lord, that our lives would be marked by your fruit, Father God, that we would not just sit, Lord, and live, but that we would grow and blossom. Father, there is no one like you. So Father, I just bless this church congregation, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would put your hand of anointing and your hand of courage, Lord, that they would be strong and courageous in you. There's no one like you, Lord. Now, if this is, maybe you're new to church. Maybe this is first, second, third Sunday, and you're like, I've been checking this thing out, and I feel a tug on my heart, and I'm spiritually hungry, and I didn't know that's what it was, but I realize that now. And you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Would you raise your hand? Every head bow, eyes closed. Would you raise your hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Good. Now, for those of you who are ready to go and do this word and accept the challenge of bringing one by August 1, would you raise your hand? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Come on. Lord, you see the hands that are raised. And Lord, you see the hands that wanted to raise as well. And Lord, we just pray for both right now. Lord, that you would cover them with your grace. Lord, that you would prepare their path, Father, and that you would soften the hearts of those who they will tell. Lord, we love you and we trust you, and there is no one like you. And it's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.